He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. It is April 6th, 2026, and it's the live edition of the Best Stocks Now show with President of Gunderson Capital Management, Bill Gunderson. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst and our certified financial planner. We are off to a mixed start today as we kind of get mixed messages coming from the White House over the weekend. And apparently a deadline is approaching. In the meantime, the Dow is down 46 points right now. That puts the Dow at 46,458. The NASDAQ is up 48, however, and that puts the NASDAQ at 21,927. The chip stocks, the memory stocks in particular, are off to a good start so far here to a new week. The S&P is up 4 points to 6,586. Russell 2000 up a little bit here so far this morning, and it's stubborn oil. Oil, it's hard to get that thing moving the other way. Oil is up another 65 basis points. Oil is at 112.27. Gold's up a half a percent. Interest rates are up a little bit to 4.34. And Bitcoin is up 2,200 to 69,442. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show. With host Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, certified financial planner. We're all headed down to Sarasota today, some by air, some by land, some by sea.
We'll see who gets there first.
We'll see who gets there first. Can't wait to get back to Sarasota tomorrow night, 7 p.m., teaching a workshop there on the current conditions of the market. And full book of meetings Tuesday and Wednesday at the Even Hotel out there in Lakewood Ranch. Well, if we pick up on where we left off on Friday, which seems so long ago with the long 3-day weekend, I hope you had a good one.
Yeah, it was great. And, yeah, always an important holiday, and you know, it's nice when you get the Friday off versus the Monday off. You know,
yeah, Fridays are really nice. Well, the market was rocking and rolling like the ocean on Friday. I'm glad I don't get seasick, but underneath the surface, the earnings and valuation of the market are solid as a rock, very solid underneath the white caps. And the market was way down on Friday in the morning, and by the end of the day, it was positive. So it was whiplash-type action in the market. And, of course, that was Thursday. That was Thursday, I've got it wrong.
Well, we had a strong strong job report actually came out on Friday. I mean, really blew through estimates there. And so talking, as you keep mentioning, when we're looking, you know, when we look at the economy, it's hard to have a recession or hard to have – it slowed down too much when you've got employment where it continues to be.
And it's hard to give too much credence to the clickbait authors, the drama headline people on Seeking Alpha, many of which, by the way, are amateurs. I mean, they've never managed money. They're writing articles to make a little extra. Maybe some are trying to scratch out a living. That would be the hardest living I could ever imagine. Scratching out articles for Seeking Alpha and trying to live off the page reads, and that's why they have to do the dramatic page read, the headlines to try to get those clicks. And I just don't pay much attention to them. I go to the three most important things in the market. Here they are: earnings. And if you read my newsletter over the weekend, you got the current state of earnings And more importantly, earnings expectations going forward, as we now have the first quarter of this year closed out, and we have, I think, 12.3%, no, 13.2% is what we are expected. And lately, we've been beating those earnings estimates for, I think, six quarters in a row. So we begin at 13.2% versus the same quarter last year. We'll see where we end up. And, of course, last weekend I wrote about the rosy picture of earnings in the market. And guess what? The S&P 500 notched its best weekly gain in 5 months. That was last week. So all the pundits, at least, were wrong. Once again, the crowd was wrong. The crowd always gets it wrong. They're like a bunch of lemmings. First they're going this way, then they're going that way, then someone says something and they all go this way. And it's just back and forth, and there's no sense to it all.
It's fun to watch sometimes.
it's really kind of comical. And, of course, we have to sit through it because we get caught up. We're not immune to the moves in the market. But, you know, the NASDAQ was up 4.4% last week. The S&P was up 3.3%. And I'm seeing a pretty good rebound in those memory stocks that nobody wanted to remember there last week. And, you know, you talk about ridiculous headlines. I saw one today, Micron could be the next Intel. You know, in other words, another turning into a laggard.
I mean, no. They were Intel for a while because of this, because of the commoditization of the of what they sell. But right now, there's a huge shortage of what they
sell.
Huge
shortage.
I mean, they've got a lot more demand than Intel has. Put it that way.
Yes, and I found out over the weekend that I have a relative that is now in charge of security, or one of the head security guys at the Micron plant in Boise, Idaho. So I'm not telling you I got inside information, but at least he can check the parking lot for me and the workers and how many shifts they're working and what the mood is. Are the employees tired? Are they worn out? Are they happy getting bonuses? I don't know, but at least we've got some boots on the ground up there in Boise, Idaho. Oil prices fell this morning, and then they're back up. There was some pretty nasty rhetoric coming out on Sunday, of all days, Easter Sunday, from President Trump. After I watched church all day about, you know, loving your enemies and not speaking ill of others and using kind words, I saw Trump's blast at Iran. He wasn't too happy about, you know, the shooting down. Of course, they got to defend themselves of our F-15, and we had to rescue. Sounds like everybody got rescued from what I can figure it out. But it did sound like we lost a little bit of hardware in the way of planes. I don't know if there's still one missing, but
I was looking at the, you know, in terms of just the sure percentages, in terms of how many sorties and how many how many targets have been attacked, and you know, in the fact that we, you know, obviously one life is too many, but you know, in terms of, you know, losing, getting, you know, one F-15 getting shot down at the time, I mean, yeah, they showed me the percentage was like 0.001% accuracy in terms of them taking us down. But
yes, well, we the focus
they only have
remains
to be right once though.
Yep, the focus remains on the Middle East this week, and more particular, if you want to really zero in latitude and longitude wise, it's that Strait of Hormuz, which is their big, I guess that's their big club that they have in the negotiations. Somehow Iran ended up with that very, very strategic location there in the Middle East where 20% of the oil flows through.
I saw a story where they let Iraqi
yes, they let Iraqi oil flow through there.
Which seems pretty odd given their history.
Yeah, they haven't had a very good history with each other either. Trump has given Iran until 8 p.m. Eastern Time Tuesday is, well, at least the basketball championship will be after that. You don't want to do that during the basketball.
Yeah.
What is it? It came down to Michigan and
we
UConn.
Had Michigan and UConn, yeah.
Michigan hasn't been there for a while.
No, but they're pretty formidable, and UConn just won't go down.
No, UConn has been there many, many times. They're a veteran, and for a small college like that, they've always had a darn good basketball program. They're the ones that knocked out my San Diego State a few years back in the final game. I mean, we made it to the final game. We're way smaller than UConn as far as a college goes. Basketball program anyways. So 8 p.m. tomorrow is the new deadline. Treasury yields climb to 4.36%. Has expanded the multiple. We finished Friday at 19.9. The 10-year average is 19.5. So we're at a very low multiple in the market right now. It's being held down by rising rates and high oil prices and fear of inflation. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. We have a new article submitted to Seeking Alpha. And I told them either, ASAP today or first thing in the morning tomorrow. Take your choice. Sometimes the editors are quite busy over there. I imagine, especially after a three-day weekend, they're extremely busy. But we put our best foot forward, our facts, and sent it over. If you follow me on Seeking Alpha, you will get an alert that the article has gone live. It may have gone live while I'm talking here. I don't know. I haven't checked it yet. And you'll get it. You can open it up, and you can read it. And we put a lot of time into it, and we've already started work on our next article. So follow us on Seeking Alpha. And we also make the PDF available to you if for some reason you cannot access the Seeking Alpha article. You can contact us, and we will send you the PDF file of the article. So nobody is left out, okay? All right, let's see. We've got mediators talking about a 45-day ceasefire, and I know that Israel is saying good luck with that. They've never had any luck with ceasefires with Iran. So there's that out there. Five EU nations reportedly propose a windfall tax on energy firms. You know, they've got a love-hate relationship over there. On the one hand, they're struggling to support their economies with energy because of some of the decisions they've made over the years as it relates to fossil fuels.
And
on the other hand,
before AI, that's the other thing too. They were struggling when they had. Remember, I mean, they would have it's been a cold winter, and you know whatever the gas prices would go up there, and of course now you have the need for power with AI and. You know, I don't think wind is going to do it for them.
No, and the oil companies step forward with oil and gas, and they're going to slap a windfall profit tax on them.
Yeah.
So it just seems like you're shooting yourself in the foot constantly. Okay, I don't know what to make of this story. China reserves offshore airspace for 40 days.
Weekend. Yeah, it's interesting.
And I don't know what that's all about. I do know it's not normal. I do know that it's out of the ordinary. Will China use this opportunity with us kind of spending our strength there in the Middle East, focused and concentrated there? Will China make a move on Taiwan? That's all I can say is they've reserved for the next 40 days offshore air space.
It's in the area of
Taiwan.
Yeah. And they usually do it 3 days at a time. So that's the interesting part
about
this.
40 days.
you know, it does give them some flexibility. I was reading an article about it. It gives them some flexibility in terms of them doing military drills, right? Or who knows what they could be, you know, could be up to. But I feel like if you were going to, this is the part that got me.
You wouldn't make it public.
Why would you reserve the airspace beforehand?
Don't fly through here. You might get blasted out of the air if you look anything like a Taiwan fighter jet.
I don't think Japan did that in before Pearl Harbor. Hey, but you know, we're going to reserve this airspace. It's like
surprise. The airspace over Hawaii. Don't fly there on December 6th. S&P 500 is up 80% of the time in April over the last 20 years. And I talked about the Easter indicator that somebody pointed out to me. I'd never heard it before. But it's good news. A lot of times happens after Easter.
It seems like it has lately because the worst news seems to happen early March.
Yeah, so 80% of the time the market goes up in April, and we had the best week last week in 5 years. Now here's a big subject. Okay, this is a very, very important subject here right now. I'm going to use this example. And then I'm going to give you a shocking statistic. AbbVie lowers their Q1 and a full year 2026 earnings outlook following a big R&D charge. Okay, so as we approach earnings season here, which really kind of begins next week, and the company's books are closed, this is warning season. This is companies raising their guidance, lowering their guidance. Here you've got an example of a company lowering their guidance, but let me tell you this. This is a five-year record for companies raising their earnings guidance. That's pretty spectacular. And there again, you've got all these pundits out there writing these doomsday articles. I saw last week one guy, this reliable indicator says that we've got a looming recession within 90 days. I don't know what reliable indicator he's pointing to, but I'm sure he got some clicks and made a few bucks on that headline. And other headlines were get ready for the biggest bear market of all time. You know, things like this. They're just, it's constant. It's a daily barrage. It's noise, and I've learned during my 26 years as a professional money manager and analyst, especially in the latter years here recently, the last 10 years or so, I've really learned as we have I think we have more visibility into earnings than we ever have had before, which has made that indicator even more reliable than ever before. Now, there's your reliable indicator. Look at the forward earnings and the direction of those forward earnings. And keep in mind, I showed a graph over the weekend that shows over the last year, the direction of the earnings estimates for this year, for the full year 2026, and for the full year 2027. And you can see the big upward swing over the last 12 months in earnings estimates. Those estimates have gone higher and higher and higher as every quarter we come in and beat the earnings and companies raise guidance. And that has an overall impact on the bottom line S&P 500 earnings. And as I say, stocks not only follow earnings, but they follow earnings expectations. And when earnings expectations go up, the market goes up. But there's been a disconnect. The market hasn't gone up this year. It's basically flat to slightly down on the year, even though the earnings expectations have gone up. And that disconnect comes because of this market shock that we have, which is a war, an attack on Iran, and skyrocketing oil prices. And you just can't look at that and say that's going to be a permanent thing. I mean, George Harrison had a song, even a cloudburst does not last all day. Eventually the cloudburst passes and the squall passes and the sun comes out again. And that's kind of like, now I'm not saying that every time in the market, because there will be at some point in time a recession, a bear market, earnings going down, but we're not even close to that right now. Instead, earnings estimates are going up, up, up and away, and the market isn't. What situation does that create? We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the big subject here coming up are going to be these IPOs. And it looks like the first one to come in for a landing here or to take off, whichever way you look at it, will be SpaceX. And some people are looking for a $1.7 trillion valuation when the company goes public. I listened to a very good interview this morning on Bloomberg with a guy who really knows his stuff as it relates to SpaceX. And he said that the business model is really depending upon data centers in space. So, you know, just that whole thing, it hasn't been tested. You're buying into that concept. Yes, he does have the, you know, the launch. He's launching more things into space than anybody else. But I doubt that that's supporting a $1.7 trillion valuation. I mean, compare him with like a Rocket Labs or one of the others. And, of course, he does have the satellite internet, which I have, Starlink. But, you know, that competes with, what's the one, the mobile sat. There's a lot of different other ones. And there's been, that's not a novel.
Been getting a big boost. There's a couple that have been getting actually a big, I think it's Global Star maybe is one.
Global Star.
A lot of buzz because of the
Iridium
space.
Iridium is another one that, you know, is in that space. And SATS. But, I mean, does it add up to $1.8 trillion? And then you're buying into the concept
when you're also buying into
data
Elon.
Centers in space.
Yeah. Well, when you're buying into Elon, and you, I mean, that's what, there's a lot of key man risk right there in terms of, you know, something happens with him or so, you know, who knows what, right? I mean, it's no different than Warren Buffett, you know, 30 years ago with Berkshire Hathaway, where they would do, you know, whole college classes on how much, you know, how far down would Berkshire go if something happened to Warren Buffett, right? I mean, it's just, there's a certain amount of risk there that's not just the business risk itself, you know?
Yeah. Well, okay, we're starting to get a glimpse into these companies before they go public because they have to disclose, you know, it's a big job to go public. I know OpenAI, there's a divide over the timing. Some people want to put it off until next year. Me, personally, I think it's important that they go public before Anthropic does. I think there's something to the timing issue being the first one to go public. But the chief financial officer at OpenAI has talked about how the scale of preparation required, ongoing work related to procedures, compliance, organizational readiness. She's also raised concerns about their financial exposure tied to heavy spending. In other words, the books don't look very good right now. Barry, you know, if somebody gets a glimpse, which the private investors have a glimpse into it, but as they go public, the general public will get a glimpse into just how much money they are burning right
now.
It's
called their, that's exactly what I was saying. What exactly is their burn rate, right? And, you know, that's as they build this technology out, it takes money, right, to make money. The trick is on the back end, will you see the return, right? I mean, that's
she's
really
claiming that they'll burn another $200 billion before reaching positive cash flow. Now, positive cash flow does not mean earnings, by the way. Positive cash flow is different from earnings. And, you know, if you've taken accounting 1, 2, 3, you understand the difference between an income statement and a cash flow statement. Because cash flow also can be the money you borrow, the money you raise. That goes into cash flow. It has nothing to do with earnings. But we will get a glimpse into just how much money. Now, the reason I bring this up is because they're on the spending side of the street. Grok, SpaceX, OpenAI, Anthropic, and they're spending billions and billions of dollars with mostly the chip companies. The worldwide chip sales rose 61.8% year over year in February. 61% growth, and most of that is going to be NVIDIA, Micron, SanDisk, the two South Korean companies, and then a few ancillary companies like Seagate and Western Digital. And they're on the other side of the street. On the one side, people are going, wow, look at how much money they've got to spend just to get to break even cash flow. That's one side. And the other side is the street. They're licking their chops saying the same thing. Wow, look at how much they've got to spend with us before they even get to break even. And you know what? I mean, they're committed. They have to spend the money because they have all of these investors that have invested heavily in the company, and they've got to get to break even cash flow, or guess what? The burn goes even higher. Not $200 billion, maybe $300 billion, maybe $400 billion, and they get deeper and deeper into the hole. And like I say, on the receiving end of all of this is these companies that I made, and that shows up nowhere better than 61.8% year over year in February. And the annual chip sales are going to cross $1 trillion in annual sales. And there's a chart here showing the annual sales of chips over the last 10 years. It's really something to behold.
I tell you what, I've used, I don't know if you've used much of it lately, but I've, I kind of go in, little burst in terms of using AI, but I feel like the answers come back a lot faster than they did just 6 months
Grok.
Ago. It's weird. I mean, it's kind of odd now where it's like, I don't know if it wants to keep me there and keep giving me a faster answer, but whatever it is, there's some kind of computing going on behind the scenes that seems to have picked up the speed.
Yeah, Grok was timing out on me a lot, and it's not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
And, I haven't, that's been the one that I've used the most is Grok, and I've been very, very happy with the answers that I have received from Grok, where before it would have taken several searches to get down to the bottom line, and this goes through every possible search and the next step and gets right down to the core of the matter. How much is that worth? Well, we're going to find out how much are. I know that Elon is making the bankers that want the deal, being on the SpaceLink deal, SpaceX deal, he's making them subscribe. And I'm talking expensive subscriptions to Grok, like tens of million dollar subscriptions to Grok. And, will they ever be able to get to where they're taking in more in subscriptions? Money than is going out the door in all of these energy costs, new chips, build out. I think the jury's really out, to be honest, on these IPOs that are going to come public. And that would include Anthropic. Of course, ChatGPT is already public, but the company behind it, OpenAI, there's the interesting race. And on the one hand, you've got OpenAI CFO saying, let's put it off till next year. This is a monstrous task. And I don't know if I want the people to see the books right now and how much money we're burning. And yet,
that would be an easy way. That would be an easy way to dodge the question, right? It's like, hey, we don't want to focus. It's a little bit, you know, it's so encompassing. We want to just keep doing what we're doing without taking it public to where all the eyes can see. You know?
And the whole system is not fair because let's just say you're a banker in this deal. Merrill Lynch is going to raise some money. Well, they're going to have stock for their best clients. I mean, their multi-million dollar clients will get access, maybe, to SpaceX at whatever price it goes public at. Whereas the little guy, he's going to get it after it goes public, when it hits that first bid, which could be much higher than where it went public at. And really, the little guy doesn't have much of a shot. Now, I've seen, you know, the glory days of IPOs, but overall, the track record, if you don't believe me, go to the app and look up the ETF IPO and see how it's done over the last 10 years as an ETF. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. You know, that, you know, SpaceX, you'd have to call that a long-term investment. In fact, the concept has not even been tested yet of data centers in space. And Sam Altman of OpenAI has poo-pooed the idea. Of course, he does not like Elon. And Elon claims that you have unlimited access to power, solar, which unfiltered solar in outer space is very abundant.
I mean, that part of it, it tracks. That makes sense. It's the get the data center up there.
There's a lot of money to be spent.
What's the maintenance? Yeah, what's the maintenance on the data center? Is it floating around up there? Do we put it on the moon?
How do you repair it?
I know he wants to put it on Mars at some point, but you know, it's if a lot of the valuation is built around that piece, like as
that's the business model.
Then that is, you know, to me, if it's around Starlink, if it's about, you know, helping U.S. and other countries shoot satellites up into the sky, right? That's one thing. But now when you're, you know, this is even beyond, to me, beyond galactic or whatever, where they're, you know, going to send people to space as tourism, right? I mean, that's still, you know, that's a long duration play as well.
So. Yep. I don't know. Okay, now let's take something closer in that has already got a bird in the hand. You know, that's one in the bush there, the SpaceX. Novo Nordisk CEO says weight loss drug boom has barely begun. I totally 100% agree with that. And I think is making it more accessible. I think we made it clear to big hurdle there, getting it into pill form and bringing the price down. I think people that have been carrying weight for a long, long time would be shocked at how much, really, at the end of the day, where the prices are now and how accessible it is, you're going to make up for it in your food bill, in your grocery bill, in your eating out bill, et cetera, maybe your drinking bill. I don't know. But the weight loss boom has barely begun. And some people have asked me, I mean, why do you still own Novo Nordisk? Well, we don't own Lilly right now. Lilly, I didn't like the way it was trading, and then they came out with the pill, and I've got to reassess it. But I do believe that there is still immense, enormous potential in these weight loss GLP-1 stocks, Novo Nordisk and Eli Lilly. And, I think the sentiment's got to improve a little bit. The public needs to be educated a little bit more. They need to have more success stories on TV, commercials, real success stories. And, like I say, I think there's still a huge, huge market out there that's untapped, that will be tapped. Okay, how about this? Here's the scary story of the day. Besides China reserving the airspace.
Airspace, yeah.
They're coming up with their own version of Roundup. Syngenta is said to target resistant weeds with new herbicide in South America. Do you trust China spraying herbicides on your crops? The problem is a lot of these crops have become weed resistant. I've got a kid that he's in high school. He's a football player. He's a good kid, and he's always looking to make some extra money. And I have him weeding my house. You know how it is in the South, Barry. There's no shortage of weeds on top of weeds.
Yeah, if you get dirt and there's nothing there, eventually
something will take that spot.
Right.
So he's weeding. I mean, we've taken out bags. He says, "Do you want me to spray Roundup on there?" And I said, "No, I don't have. I don't want to get into my roses and my good plants." And by the time he finishes, it'll probably be time to do it again.
Start back on the other side. Yeah,
it's just the nature of the beast here. Right. And by the way, I mean, in my garden area, I have some gravel down on the ground. And the weeds come through the gravel, and I did spray Roundup on that in those graveled areas. It doesn't even stop the weeds; they come right through it using the Roundup. So there's a problem. But Syngenta supposedly has a breakthrough, herbicide that will get around all of that. I don't know if it kills the people. Is that the byproduct? It kills the guy that uses it? Or?
Yeah, herbicides don't have a good track record.
Just put it kindly. And the jury is still out. There's been some massive awards awarded to people that have used Roundup and have gotten cancer and have gotten major awards, and yet you can still go to Home Depot and pick up Roundup off the shelf. It and a few others dominate the markets, and now we've got this China competitor. Okay,
I have seen some some stuff. I forget what it's called, but it's a natural weed. But my whole thing is
good
my
luck
guess.
With that.
I haven't used it. It probably
yeah,
doesn't.
I've
work.
Tried everything.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean cyanide. And to keep the deer out, I've tried everything, and then it rains, it washes it off the plants, and they get the azaleas, and that's just the way it goes. All right, well, I was going to get to what Kathy Wood is buying. I know you're dying to hear that. She's been buying Oklo, DoorDash, GeneDx, Arcturus Therapeutics, stuff I wouldn't touch with the 10-foot pole in this market. But that's her. I mean, that's her cup of tea. She likes ultra long-term stuff that may or may not ever, ever see a profit or the light of day. And that's why she has such a volatile fund. And so many people track her and bet against her on her methodology.
Sark has been a pretty good performer during a lot of this.
I've got a nice profit in Sark so far, which is opposite Kathy Wood. Okay, well, we'll be tomorrow night, 7 p.m. at the Even Hotel in Lakewood Ranch, showing you the current state of the market. And we've got an article out there. Follow us on Seeking Alpha to set an appointment with us, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. You don't have to settle for the old 60-40 passive methodology of investing, which is so prevalent in the market today. I believe in being active, not passive, but you got to not be too active at the same time. keep your eyes anchored on earnings and try to block out the daily noise of the market and the doomsday headlines. To get 4 weeks to the newsletter and the live alerts, GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.